Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Bryce Diamond, back on the horn, back on the pod, solo today. Want to talk about a few things that are happening with the Raps. Want to talk about a little bit about the World Cup and some of the international play. And yeah, just enjoy this season. You know, I think I said it on the pod last time when my man Tom Anderson was on. If you haven't caught that episode, please do. We didn't get him mic'd up well. So when you're listening, you got to turn up the sound a little when he's spitting truth, as he does, giving knowledge. He's got some great things to say. I really like Tom's insight, but he just is a great orator in my mind. Maybe just on a casual orator side, you know, he's not trying to make big grand speeches or anything, but I like the way he gets out the lyrics. So make sure you tune into that one. Courtney was back on the pod after a few months off, hoping to get her back on the pod to talk about some dirty little secrets that we have in terms of the NBA. Some teams, some players we enjoy following, whether it be on League Pass or on the socials. So if you haven't heard Courtney and I's last episode, which we did 2 weeks ago, make sure you're listening to the one that's probably going to be coming out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But it's summertime. As I've told you, I love the summer. And yes, there's work to do in the summer. People are working hard. Even NBA players are working hard. But there's a lot of extracurriculars, a lot of fun, a lot of relaxation before training camp gets going in mid to late September, and certainly before the preseason starts. So it's good to just see what's happening. And there are lots of things happening. People are getting around. People are showing up in various places in the NBA, and there's a lot to talk on specifically from a Raptors perspective, but we'll dab in and out of the NBA. Carabana happened last weekend, and of course it happens during the long weekend in August, the Civic long weekend. It comes the weekend after Emancipation Day, which is a huge day on the calendar, obviously for African Americans, but African Canadians as well. Anyone who is affected by slavery, the slave trade by the British Empire, Emancipation Day is a big day. And part of the reason why Carabana began was because it happens of Emancipation Day. And it's a celebration, yes, of Caribbean culture, there's no doubt. But it's also a celebration of freedom. And that's really an important time. And people might be saying, well, you know, why do people got a party like they do at Carabana? Or Carabana has violence and you know, it has some people who are wearing less clothing. It's not as classy. Listen, when people are partying, people are allowed to party within reason. Obviously, I don't condone violence by any stretch of the imagination, nor destruction. But when people party, let people have a good time. If there's consenting adults, if people want to wear very little clothing, first of all, it's the summertime. At the beach, you're going to see it anyways. But let people express themselves. It's the summer. They're outside dancing. You're going to get hot. And if people want to wear less clothing as they're sweating up a storm, they're allowed to do that. Like, get out of people's pockets. But Caravana, there's all kinds of events. And there's all kinds of people that are celebrating at Caravana. And there's very little violence in comparison to how many events and parties are going on. And I think that needs to be said. And for the most part, which is true in life, I think in general, there's only about, 3 to 5% bad apples. Sometimes it's only, one or two people that are causing all the problems. And people have a good time. I heard lots of positive things about Caravana this year. I saw lots of just enjoyment and pure joy happening through social media, whether it be NBA players or not. Some of my friends, some other celebrities within the Toronto media world and show business world, they were out there having a good time. So let's not paint Caravana with big strokes saying that it's, gone to hell and stuff. That's just nonsense. One person who was having a good time, enjoying his first Caravana, was a new Raptor, Grady Dick. Grady Dick sporting the new summer kit that TFC put out. So much respect to Grady Dick for knowing that that jersey was out there, that the kit was out there, and for showing love to another team within MLSE. But this guy, wow, this guy got out there. And as Zaya said to me earlier this week, this man is never leaving Toronto. This is how you keep guys in the city, whether on the team or having them continue to come back. And Grady Dick was certainly enjoying himself in the parade. He was enjoying himself at parties. But he was not the only Raptor. Gary Trent Jr. was in the scene, enjoying his time. And that's good to see. Always good to see Gary with a smile on his face. A former Raptor, recently former Raptor, came back for Caravana. He was in the city for 4 or 5 days. Was Fred VanVleet. And he was not partying alone. He and Gary actually partied a little bit. Good to see them together, enjoying themselves, just being friends, I'm sure Fred is a big brother to Gary. There's not a huge gap between them, but Fred is an old soul. He's a wise guy, and I'm sure he's got things to say to Gary to keep him focused in his career. Obviously, we know Gary's dad does the same, but it's good to see them just hang out, have a good time. Fred was with some other folks in the NBA, who one guy in particular that almost makes like a annual pilgrimage to Toronto for Caravana. And you know what? Mad respect to him. I would be doing the same thing. LeBron James in Toronto. When LeBron's in town, it's LeBronto. We all know the history of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and the playoffs from 2016 to 2018. He didn't just have the keys to the city. He took up position as the king of Toronto. That's why he gets the LeBronto. And that's what Caravana does. It brings out stars. I remember when Vince Carter played for the Toronto Raptors, he had an annual celebrity event and hip hop stars and NBA stars would come and they would enjoy Caravana as well as the great basketball exhibition that was Vince Carter's celebrity and charity event. But there are other people having a good time in other places besides Toronto and Caravana. And this summer has been a time where you see guys traveling to different places in the world. They might not have had that experience growing up. And this is something for them that's truly a luxury, but something for them that they want to take advantage of. And obviously they have the resources to do so with the budget and with private jets, and good on them. See the world. You know, it shouldn't just be, you know, kids growing up in private schools that get to go on vacation in nice places. It should be NBA players, especially guys who haven't had that opportunity. And, you know, you see Pascal in the Maldives. You see Scotty Barnes in Jamaica, where he has some family, you know, just enjoying their time out there. And they need to relax. And sometimes in order to relax, they have to go to private, more isolated places where either there's security or there's not a need for high-end security because there's already a built-in kind of security factor. And that's really good to see. I love seeing that. You know, Pascal, you know, Scotty are going to put in the work in the off season, and they have been. You can see it in their bodies. You can see it, you know, on their social media accounts. These guys are getting rest as well as putting in the reps that they need to put in, whether that's in the weight room or whether that's on the court as well. Good to see Pascal hanging out with his brother, too, who's been part of the 905 system and organization. But, good to see Pascal be able to have that much time with his brother. I know if I was in the NBA and I was wanting to work on my body and I was wanting to work on my game, my brother would be there. You know, I love my brother, love spending time with him. He has a good mind in general, but also a good basketball mind. And I know that he would be helping me in my skills, maybe not necessarily in my work ethic. I always had that. Maybe not even in, you know, the way I built up my mechanics, but he was a great mind to build skills in terms of different shot selection, different ways of shooting the basketball. I see Steph in warmups take off balance shots, take shots with pressure and contact. And I just think, you know, that's, my brother would always try these different shots, knowing that there was going to be contact, different heights from players that were going to defend him, and you know, working on his range way before me. I was trying to work on my first step and my pull up, and you know, being a shorter guy than my brother, you know, 3 inches shorter. I had to do those kind of things for sure, but I could have learned a lot from him in terms of shot selection and getting to those difficult shots or being ready to take those more difficult shots. And you see Pascal do the same, with his brother. Really, really fun to see. There are also guys on the team who were hanging out, with other guys in the NBA. There was some Formula One events, specifically the Formula One race that was happening in Montreal. But there's some fanfare, some exhibition before the race itself. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort, two guys who play for the OKC Thunder. Obviously, Shai from Hamilton, Lou Dort from Montreal. They were hanging out with two guys who play on the Raptors who aren't from Canada. Christian Coloco, who is a Francophone. He was in Montreal. Obviously, Lou Dort and him have had a chance to spend some time together. Really good to see him, Coloco, Christian Coloco, hanging out in Montreal and hanging out with Shai and Lou. But also Precious Achiuwa was there, a guy from Nigeria, spent a lot of time in New York and then Memphis before going to Miami when he got drafted. But here's Precious hanging out with Christian Coloco. You got to love it. Two guys from the continent. Two guys who are kind of tied to each other. Bigs off the bench. You want to see that bench mob really come strong. Those are two guys who are going to have chemistry together on and off the court. So great seeing them, but also great seeing Shai and Lou being hosts in Canada, but also obviously Lou Dort's town, Montreal. You know, the Raptors so far in the first couple weeks of August, have also been practicing. There's a few courts that they played on. Obviously, OVO is one of those spots. I've seen Christian Coloco shoot a bunch of threes in that time. Thad Young has been working with a bunch of the young guys, especially guys coming off the bench, maybe guys deeper into the bench, trying to make the roster or trying to get more minutes, like a Marquise Noel or like Malachi Flynn. Malachi Flynn is still around. Here's a PG. You know, they want to learn the game. Thad's a good guy to do that with. So great to see that. The Raptors also signed another veteran, cut from the same cloth as Thad Young, 37-year-old journeyman, Garrett Temple. Now Garrett Temple is not going to wow you with his game. He really never has. But this is an old head. This is a guy who's been around the league, who has a lot of knowledge, who's played with a lot of big names. He was on that Brooklyn team when KD and James Harden were there. He was playing with, or at least on the same roster as CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. And, you know, he's had a long career. And, you know, I think Masai and Bobby know what, you know, veterans can do for your club. They've seen that in various iterations of the Toronto Raptors over the last 9-10 seasons. And Garrett Temple is a guy that can help, maybe not on the court with his game anymore at 37, but I think he's interested, like probably Thad Young is interested, to coach after his career. And, you know, to be able to come into a team that's very young. We talked about this last year. This is a team who's in the top 10. I think they're 7th or 8th last year, youngest team in the league. The year before that, they were the third least experienced team in the league. And when you got a guy like Garrett Temple, who came in to the NBA in 2009 and has played big minutes at various times in his career, certainly between 2015 and 2021, this guy was getting 20 plus minutes a game, as high as 28 minutes a game when he played for Brooklyn, as Kevin Durant and Kyrie were getting themselves healthy. That was the bubble year. But then he continued to play 27 minutes a game the next year when he played for the Chicago Bulls. And this is a guy who's again, played with big stars, has played around young stars. And, you know, he needs to be given respect for the longevity he's had in his career. Now 36, going to be turning 37 years of age. He's been around the league 14, 15 seasons. So, yeah, lots to learn for him about the guys on the team. But I think a lot of the guys on this club could learn a lot from him. He was part of that Washington Wizards team in 2015 that swept the Raptors, then the 2016 Washington Wizards team, which had big players, big young stars like John Wall before he got injured, who was just an absolute terror for us as Raptors fans, but the NBA at large. And Bradley Beal, who is, you know, a budding star. And so that's the kind of guys he's been around. I think he's now been on, this is his 10th team in the NBA. Houston, Sacramento, San Antonio, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Washington, Memphis, LA Clippers, Brooklyn, Chicago, New Orleans. This is his 12th team. And when you do that kind of journeying, when you're around that many different coaches, organizations, players, you gain a knowledge. You gain an experience that has wisdom, that gains wisdom. You have an insight into all kinds of dynamics. And that has provided Garrett Temple a pathway to be this veteran on a team, a young team like the Toronto Raptors. And I want to emphasize just for a second, and we did this, Courtney and I, when we were on the pod a couple of weeks ago, this Raptors team is still very young. You take Garrett Temple and Thad Young out of this lineup, this is a team that has one 30-year-old, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Two 30-year-olds. Otto Porter Jr. is 30, literally 30 years old. And so is Boucher. They both turned 30 this past season. Remember, Pascal Siakam is 29. I know we think that he's been around for a long time, but Jakob Poeltl is 27. And when you think about guys who are in their mid-30s, even high-level stars like Kevin Durant and James Harden and Jimmy Butler, these guys are 33 years old. Kevin Durant's 34, 35 next month. Being 29 and 27, you have a lot of career left ahead of you. Sometimes half your career, maybe more than half your career in the case of Jakob Poeltl, who will probably be still in the league at 35 years old. So having guys like Garrett Temple is really important for the players. It's also important for the coaches. Darko Rakovic, this is his first head coaching gig. It's really important to have those vets like Thad and Garrett to speak up, to be able to give situational wisdom for the game, but also help these guys off the court, help gel the team. You saw Udonis Haslam do this for the last 5-6 years of his career. After Braun left, as D. Wade's career was starting to go down in the final 2 years of his years, Udonis Haslam began to provide that stuff. And great to see guys like Thad and Garrett Temple be able to be there. Their first event, team event with Garrett Temple, was a lot of fun. From social media, it looked like a lot of fun anyways. I don't know if all the players had fun, but they went to the driving range in downtown Toronto. I know exactly where it is, right on the waterfront. OG Anunoby, I don't know if he's ever played a round of golf before. His swing was terrible. Pretty darn terrible. Another guy who had a terrible golf swing, and maybe these guys never played golf growing up or really at all in their lives. Scotty Barnes had an awful swing too. His swing actually looked a lot like Zaya's, to be honest. Zaya's swing struggles, mostly because Zaya hasn't had a chance to play. And so there's that hitch that exists because you don't have the confidence to have a fluidity. But here's the thing. And this, you know, this is good news for Zaya, but it was really cool actually seeing it on social media. Scotty Barnes' swing over the course of like an hour and a half got quite a bit better, significantly better. Here's a guy with huge arms, long arms, huge hands, and a golf club is quite narrow. And over the course of an hour and a half, let's say, his swing looked actually quite decent by the end after it looked awful at the beginning. And hopefully, you know, as Zaya plays a little more golf over the next 5 years, he can watch Scotty's improvement, incremental improvement over the course of an hour and a half and have that be inspiration. But they look like they had a great time. Not only does OG Anunoby have to work on his golf swing, should he want, he also needs to work on his gritty, not the greatest gritty in the world. Someone who wasn't working necessarily on their golf shot. I didn't see clips of him with the Raptors event, although it's quite possible that he was there. Jaden McDaniels, a guy who signed as a free agent to the Toronto Raptors, wanted to be here. He really did. He's got a teammate from college on the roster and Malachi Flynn. We mentioned that Courtney and I. But this guy saw the way that the Raptors played. I think saw that Darko got hired and thought, you know what? This team is now interested again in being able to develop young talent, not just from the 905, although I think they'll be very focused on that, but also guys who are on the roster, guys who are getting minutes, and he wants to get more minutes. And something that was told to him by Bobby and Masai is you got to work on your three-point game. And this guy is shooting like 1,000 shots, threes a day every time he's in the OVO Athletic Center. And that's really good to see. It's great to see when guys, even if they're not starters, it's great to see guys want to come to Toronto. I don't know why people wouldn't want to come to Toronto outside of the cold. All taxes aside, these guys are making huge cash and have a chance in Toronto, in Canada, because it's the only NBA team in the country to make big money off endorsements and commercials. So Jaden McDaniels wanted to be here. He wants to develop. He didn't stay in Philly, where he probably won't get developed with Joel Embiid and James Harden, if James Harden stays. But he won't develop much with Nick Nurse. We've seen that. Daryl Morey's not a big development general manager either. He's a win now kind of guy, which is why he and Nick Nurse get along so well. But great to see Jaden McDaniels shooting all the threes that he is. And I think this guy, just 25 years old, I think he'll do just fine this season. And I think we might even see him take some leaps. He might even be at Rico Hines' gym tomorrow morning. Who knows? I know a lot of Raptors will be there this coming week. So it'll be interesting to see if Jaden is there. I think Scotty's going to be there this week. Likely Koloko, who's also shooting a ton of threes in the offseason and working hard on his body to get him thicker. This is a guy who made a lot of great plays last season. He was in a lot of good positions. He's got a lot of work to do, but I think will be an anchor on that defense. And Samson Folk was also talking this week about how important Koloko will be to that second unit defensively. And I think he can be quite strong for them offensively too. And to see him work on his body to get him stronger, more durable, is going to be important. And a guy that he will look up to, a guy that he will be following the footsteps of, we know, is Yak, because, you know, Jakob Poeltl is going to be the starting center for this Toronto Raptors team. And Koloko has a lot to learn from Yak, both as a screener, a roller, a guy who can make that mid-range shot in traffic, that little push shot that he makes as a passer. Jakob Poeltl is quite good. And Koloko can learn all these things as an anchor of a defense. Jakob Poeltl also offers a lot of size and a lot of protection at the rim. So that's going to be good for Koloko. But speaking of Yak, where has this guy been? He does not post very often, if at all, on social media. This guy has not shown up in any of the events that I've seen, in any of the pictures of other guys' social media. He certainly wasn't with Grady and Gary at Carabana. So where has Yak been? Is he in Austria? Was he preparing for the World Championships? I actually don't know if Austria is even at the World Championships, but I have not seen Yak. But he's a low-key guy. Very low-key guy. He's a pro's pro. You know he's working hard. But I hope that we get at least one shot of Yak, maybe with Pascal, maybe working hard with Christian Koloko. Who knows? But it'd be good to see him with a smile, working hard in the gym, getting ready for next season. But I trust that he is. I have full confidence that Jakob Poeltl is. I even saw shots of Pascal in Austria doing some favors, doing some summer camps. Didn't even see Yak in those photos in Austria, but likely Pascal was with him. Probably did the camp together with Yak. So hope Yak is well Hope to see Jakob Poeltl, you know, healthy, strong, and even better than he was last season in a full season. Great to get a full season in his prime for the Toronto Raptors next year. That'll be really important. The FIBA World Cup is coming up. It's going to come up at the end of this month. I believe tip-off is August 25th. It goes for about 2.5 weeks. And, of course, Canada is there. And right now, they are having a week of exhibition play in Europe. They've played two games at this point. The first one was against Germany. Of course, Dennis Schroeder on that team, a Raptor, who's spoken very highly about wanting to be in Toronto. Dennis Schroeder was with Darko at Oklahoma City, and Darko was very much interested in Dennis joining the team when Van Fleet did not, when Freddie did not re-sign with the club. And so great to see him so eager to be part of the Raptors. He shined bright, very bright in this FIBA World Cup tune-up game against Canada in Germany. It was 86-81 for the home side, Germany against Canada. Of course, Canada has a lot of new guys, a lot of young guys on their roster. And as good as they are, as talented as they are, still very young, still haven't had a chance to play as much as they'd probably like to have played together for various reasons. Germany was able to win. Germany's played quite a lot of games together. And they spent a lot of time together in the offseason. Franz Wagner, very good player, young player for the Orlando Magic, is part of that team. There's a few other guys who have been in and out of the NBA who are on that Germany team. So they will be there at the World Cup. Another team Canada played was New Zealand. And they absolutely hammered New Zealand, 107-76, a 31-point drubbing the second quarter, 39-14. Not pretty if you're an All Blacks fan of the basketball team. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looks very good. He had 26 very easy points through three quarters. One thing about that Canada team, just to talk a little bit about Canada, as we've gone through the extracurricular summer activities of the Toronto Raptors, is they don't have a lot of their big guys out. We know that Chris Boucher is not on the team. An older guy, veteran, who's certainly still got some game. He's still in the NBA, is Tristan Thompson. He would have been a nice guy to have on this team. Ken Birch is not there, who is a vet. Maybe not a guy who would start, but he's not even there. And as good as Josh Eddy is, you want to see him improve. He's still young. He's like, what, 21 years old? So he's still got some time. But a guy that, probably in 5 years is going to be a really important player for Canada when they go to these major events like a World Cup. But guys like Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell, they lack a few things that we need to really excel. And all that said, we're still seen as a top four team in this tournament. At least Vegas thinks that way. But one downside, even though we have RJ Barrett there, even though we have Dylan Brooks there, we have Shai Gilgeous's cousin, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, is there. Even though we have a ton of talent on this team, a lot of NBA guys, no Jamal Murray, which is surprising. He was training with the team 3 weeks ago at OVO with new coach Jordy Fernandez and a number of the players on the team. But no Jamal Murray, and I think he might have tweaked something, or some of the medical staff as they were doing some of the fitness examinations, found that maybe he needed a little more time to rest. So they, Basketball Canada has not come out. Jordy Fernandez has not come out, either as Jamal himself. None of them have said outright that he will not be at the tournament. They've also haven't said anything about him playing in any of the lead-up games, which is really unfortunate because they need these lead-up games. So I'm not sure if he has something like shin splints, like a wear and tear issue. I'm not sure if he has, you know, maybe a pulled hamstring, which would really be crappy. But, you know, with only 2 weeks to go till this tournament starts, hopefully in the last two exhibition games leading up to the tournament, one in particular against Germany, hopefully Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is around because he would be pretty vital to their, you know, success. And certainly this is a team who could get to the quarters, who has the potential to get to the semifinals. But without a guy like Jamal Murray, I don't think they can break through past the quarterfinals. And, you know, it's a very talented global game now. There are so many really, really good teams when you think of France and Spain, the U.S., obviously, even though the U.S. haven't sent their number one squad, they haven't sent their B squad, their C squad, but even their D squad is still the favored team. But you've got teams like Germany who are very good. You got Japan, who's got a couple NBA guys on there in Rio. And we know, of course, former Raptor is on there as well, in Yuta Watanabe. So, you know, you got to come correct at these big tournaments. Of course, if you make the top four, if you get to the semifinals, you make the Olympics. So this has some serious repercussions, some really positive implications should you get the results, should you have the success. So hopefully Jamal Murray is there. Last thing I want to mention about the summer, and I realize I've bounced around here from Carabana to golf swings to talking about Jakob Poeltl being like a Where is Waldo type character. One other thing I want to talk about, not Raptors related, although it will come soon, I'm sure the day when this happens, I think it's next season, there's the potential for this to happen with a Raptor. Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame just inducted four new players. First ballot Hall of Famers, which means that the committees, which have former players and coaches on them, has some media members. The Basketball Hall of Fame voted in four guys right away, as soon as they were eligible, which I think is four seasons, 4 years after they retire. They have the chance to be voted in. And these four guys, I mean, wow. These four guys are not just Hall of Famers. I mean, we're talking these four guys, both on an international level and an NBA level, being some of the biggest names in global basketball in the last 10, 20 years. D. Wade, of course, representing the United States and the Miami Heat. He was with Dirk Nowitzki. Talk about Germany basketball, the impact that he had on guys like Dennis Schroeder, so key. He was inducted, and this is a guy who's what, sixth all-time in scoring. He was there. Tony Parker, four-time champ, also was a huge, huge player in getting to getting France basketball to what it is today. You talk to guys who are in the league now who are French players in the NBA, including Victor Wembanyama. They'll speak so highly of Tony Parker. Part of the reason why Victor wanted to go to San Antonio, I was so happy that the Spurs were the first pick, is because Tony Parker was there and winning championships. Obviously, Boris Diaw was also there. But Tony Parker, huge influence on French basketball. But just an incredible player outside of the four chips. Just what he was able to do as a small guard, 6 feet, 6'1". Clutch player, played both sides of the ball very well. And then finally, another international guy, a guy that won NBA championships, a guy who won a gold medal, just a spectacular talent, helped change the center to what we know the center to be in the NBA, along with a guy like Kevin Garnett, Pau Gasol. And likely we'll see his brother Mark in the next 5-6 years get inducted to the Hall of Fame as well, for both his international and his NBA play. But when you think about these guys, Dirk, Tony, Pau, Dwayne Wade, you look at the rings. These fill up two hands. Pau Gasol with two championships with Kobe. Went to the final 3 straight years. Tony Parker, 4 titles, went to the finals at least one other time against Miami in 2013. Dirk Nowitzki went to the finals twice, won a ring, and then finally D. Wade, 4 rings. What do you got? 4, 5, 9, 11 rings between the four of them. Just incredible careers, but also how good they were on that international level. Even D. Wade, he was part of that Redeem team that won in 2008 and 2012. So many different styles between the three of these guys, four of these guys. Obviously, on the offensive end, they had so much. Tony Parker's floater was key, you know, and you know, kind of revolutionized the mid-range for small guards like himself. Pau Gasol's shooting and passing as a center, and not having to be a big physical guy, but just smart and slick and fast. Dirk Nowitzki being able to be that kind of prototype as a stretch four. And obviously there were times where Dallas played him as a five, a small five, because they had to, because it messed up teams. And then D. Wade, who was this combo guard, who wasn't a great shooter, but found ways to use his speed and his change of speed and direction. You know, as good as Manu Ginobili was with the Euro step, D. Wade had an incredible Euro step, and guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo watched a lot of D. Wade, as well as big guys. They watched a lot of D. Wade. And to see these four guys get inducted, to see who they influenced, the franchises they influenced, the cities, the countries they influenced, because they all came from four different countries. Just a great class of Hall of Famers. And no arguments, no disputing that any of them should be in the Hall of Fame. But I think D. Wade, in my opinion, was right there as you know, the best player in this field. Not to take anything away from Dirk, but when you hear D. Wade's story and when you see how he transformed as a player in college, went to Marquette for 4 years, really paved a path for other kind of tween positional guys. Similar guy to another Marquette grad who's probably a future Hall of Famer, and Jimmy Butler. I don't see how you couldn't put Jimmy in the Hall of Fame. And of course, those guys both played in Chicago together in 2017. Didn't play at Marquette at the same time, but D. Wade, big brother to Jimmy Butler. And of course, they also both played for the Miami Heat, and D. Wade's at a lot of Heat games cheering on Jimmy. And, you know, some would say after D. Wade, the best player in a Miami jersey ever was Jimmy Butler. Maybe that's a debate for another time. Maybe Miami Heat podcasts are already doing that. But great to see, you know, it's great to see these guys be able to speak freely about their careers, but even how they got to the NBA, even how they kept their heads once they got to the league and made all the money and had all the fame. It was fantastic to hear D-Wade say publicly, many times, but very publicly on ESPN, that he needed to go to therapy. Got a lot of respect for D-Wade for recognizing what he needed. But then to also say, you know, how important family was. His dad was called to the stage at the end of his speech last night. He's been so impactful, D-Wade, in his kids' lives. And, you know, being able to keep them humble, but also allow them to teach D-Wade as a parent who they are. And we all know, you know, the story of his children and one of his children transitioning and how important that is. And D-Wade recently, he and his family moved from Florida because of all the crap that was happening in Florida. They decided it wasn't safe anymore for their family, but specifically their kid. And, you know, to see D-Wade be public about those things, from his affirmation and support to the gay and queer community, to Black Lives Matter movement, you know, back in the day when Trayvon Martin was killed and the Black Lives Matter movement was starting to build. But here he is, you know, supporting Zaya Wade. And that's so significant. That's so important that D-Wade be that kind of person, be that kind of parent, and be able to show that, you know, in their Hall of Fame speeches. It's not just about basketball. It's about their life, and basketball is just one part of it. But here they are getting inducted for all the work that they did. And part of that is how influential they were off the court too. And I love to see that and to share that moment with his father, who he shares the exact same name with, you know, Dwayne Tyrone Wade. It's great. It's really, really great. And I have a lot of love for D. Wade, you know, as a player, but also as a person. And I'm glad that they could all shine yesterday as they were enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame. All right, y'all. That's the summer musings, the summer viewings and happenings that I've been observing from social media, from the TV. And I wanted to comment on those here in mid-August, the relaxing part of the NBA year. And hopefully you all are getting some rest, relaxation, a time of reflection. And I hope you also get a chance to watch the World Cup. And maybe, you know, as I commented about the Hall of Fame, the speeches are so fantastic. We've seen the highlights. Listen to the speeches. I think they'll touch your heart too. All right, y'all. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the summer sunshine and heat. Peace.